the Executive Branch Ethics Committee had a rare moment in the spotlight recently after it weighed in on a complaint involving Governor Chris Sununu's use of his official Twitter account. If you haven't heard much about this committee before, you're not alone. NHBR's Casey McDermott reports on why it keeps such a low profile.
Before we look at where the Ethics Committee is today, let's start at the beginning. It's 2005, and New Hampshire's new governor, John Lynch, is just getting sworn in, having won on promises to restore faith in New Hampshire government.
The citizens of New Hampshire expect and deserve a government as clean as our mountain streams and as open as our blue skies.
Under Lynch's predecessor, Governor Craig Benson, executive branch staffers sometimes blurred the boundaries between personal interests and their public roles. Lynch promised he'd hold state officials to a higher bar.
And I will propose legislation creating an independent ethics commission to investigate ethics complaints against executive branch appointees and to toughen penalties for violating our state ethics code.
The independent committee debuted in 2007. It was designed to give guidance to state officials to help them avoid crossing ethical boundaries. But it was also supposed to be a place where the public could lodge complaints about executive branch officials, the governor's staff, state commissioners, for example, who might be breaking the rules. And when it comes to that watchdog role, the panel's never really shown any teeth. It's never held a public hearing on any of the 4 dozen ethics complaints it's received. And all but 2 of those complaints have been dismissed outright, without investigation.
The committee is responsive in nature, so if it gets a complaint, it can act.
Deputy Attorney General Anne Rice is the legal counsel for the Ethics Committee. She says a lot of the complaints are dismissed simply because they're out of the committee's hands. They're against someone who isn't an executive branch official, or they don't relate to the areas the committee is supposed to police.
It's really governed a lot by what kinds of complaints come in. So if there is a misunderstanding in terms of what the committee can do, that is certainly a problem.
What action the committee has taken has been all but out of public view. That's because state law says those complaints must be kept secret until the committee gets a pass. Manchester attorney Joseph DeBrigida, the Ethics Committee's chairman, says that offers protection against frivolous complaints.
I guess the statute is structured to be consistent with the idea of being innocent until proven guilty. And so it errs on the side of confidentiality and not impugning someone's reputation or record unless there is real substance to it.
But critics, like longtime Democratic Party official Kathy Sullivan, say the lack of transparency leads people to wonder whether officials in both parties are getting a free pass.
I think in New Hampshire, sometimes we rely too much on what I call the he's a good guy theory, which is, oh, that, you know, so-and-so would never do anything wrong because he's a good guy.
Then there's another problem. For the last decade, the committee's been operating without any official guidelines. That means there's no formal roadmap for, say, how to determine if something seems like a violation or how to conduct a public hearing. And for most of the last few years, the Ethics Committee has had trouble filling its open seats. Only 4 of 7 slots are filled right now. But even so, DeBrigida says something is better than nothing.
It's definitely an improvement over what existed before, but I don't think it's fully utilized, or at least not utilized in the right way. Or maybe there just aren't that many concerns or complaints to be filed.
All valid points, maybe. But for now, the public just has to trust the committee's word for it. For NHPR News, I'm Casey McDermott.